a challenge for me a little bit because I hadn't done it for 3 to 4 years with Wine Library. I was siphoning off. And so that was super interesting for me. The challenge of having so many people work for me that didn't really know me, you know, VaynerMedia, I knew who I was. I wanted them to know who I was, but they didn't yet, and they didn't trust. And we were in this new industry called advertising where people are very cynical because the holding companies don't create good culture around people. And so people thought that I was only in it to buy the Jets, that I didn't care about them. So it was very tough for me to operate and love my employees and not have them fully, fully get that and fully, fully know me. Though I've been chipping away and it's getting better and better, that was a very tough chapter for me as well.
Are you ever scared before you do something big, even something that's not business related?
You know, it's funny. On the show, I answered that I was scared about reading in public, which has been fun because I've been doing that kind of here a little bit. Not exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that I'm really scared of is reading in public. Other than that, I'm scared of heights and things of that nature. But business-related or something big, not really. I was super comfortable with the thought of becoming a father. I always thought that I was fatherly, and being the oldest child prepped me for it. Immigrant family, that kind of stuff. Getting married was a no-brainer. Starting businesses is even more. I mean, literally starting businesses and taking business risks is like breathing oxygen. It comes so natural to me. You know, the health thing was a big one 18 months ago, you know, but I wasn't scared. I was ready. Maybe I was scared a couple years before and knew that I had to address my health, or I wanted to put myself in the best position with my health. But no, I don't tend to be a scared guy because I don't tend to do things that I'm scared of, right? I'm not going to jump out of planes. You know, I'm not going to eat a poisonous fish. I tend to think and ponder and get myself ready. I'm always very comfortable. I'm very much a chameleon. You know what's really funny? This is just a weird proxy, just to give you an understanding of me. My family, especially my wife, are so weirded out by my ability to adjust to any temperature at any time. It's so weird. Like, very hot, very cold. I'm just comfortable. And that's an analogy to the way I am in life.
Hey guys, it's Sean Burrows again with another question for Gary Vee. What's your spirit animal?
I originally answered that it was Ram Man from He-Man. If you grew up in the 80s and know He-Man, Ram Man was kind of like, used his head to go through everything. I do truly believe that I will myself to victory, and I'm just bashing my head through walls to do it. But the more I think about it, I actually think it's Lizzie, my wife. We're so similar in so many ways that I really associate, like, I feel like if I was her, I would do all the same things she's doing. I don't know how to really explain that, but that's what makes me feel like we're spirit animals.
Are you the person behind the hashtag Tom Shady billboard?
During the football season, it looked like some Jet fans bought some billboards to make fun of Tom Brady, and Deflategate and all that stuff. And the answer is I'm not, though I answered that I wish it was me. Truth is, I wouldn't do something like that, but I enjoyed it. I'm very much the lowest version of myself during Jets-Patriots talk. For all the people that have followed me for about 7, 8, 9 years on Twitter, they know that I am not confrontational, that I'm very politically correct, that I'm pretty zen, that I'm outrageously optimistic and understanding, but the one time I get feisty is with Patriot fans on Twitter.
If you could have a bionic body part, which body part would it be, and what powers would it have?
So I got to tell you, this was with Casey Neistat, an incredible YouTube content creator, filmmaker, extraordinary communicator, good friend, and we were talking about it, and I said that mine would be bionic ears, because I think listening... For, you know, I think I'm a contradiction, and I think when people think about me, they think about somebody talking, but I know that the reason that I've won is because I listen. I pay attention with my eyes and ears, and so I went with bionic ears, because if I could hear more, some of the best things I've ever done in sales, in inner people relations, is when I was listening when people thought that I was paying attention to my conversation, and I loved it, and I used that data to get what I wanted. And so, I would say ears, bionic ears.
What's your favorite airport? LGA? JFK? SFO?
Though those are the airports that I spend a ton of time in, along with LAX, My favorite airports are the ones in really small towns, in Vermont, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in all these places that I get to travel around, because there's nothing, and I mean nothing, like pulling up to the airport 18 seconds before your flight is boarding and being there on time. I mean, literally once in Vermont, I was in a meeting 32 minutes before my flight was taking off. And I got there in 6 minutes, and I got through the airport in 2, and I think I even got there before we started boarding. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the convenience. As somebody from the East Coast that goes to major airports, there's nothing like those airports. They're the best. I'm cozy as heck in them.
Hey, this is India. I do editorial for Gary. If you've seen the show, you probably know who I am, but if not, I also help run the Ask Gary Vee show. So I'm going to be reading some questions now. Would you ever automate your position and delegate to as many people as it takes so you could fully engage in your family and life?
No. No. As much as I want to be with my family all the time, the truth is I don't. I mean, I want to do the things that I want to do as well. And the thought of creating automation, first of all, for somebody who believes so much in human touch and the human aspect of all this, that would drive me crazy. It wouldn't work. It's super uncomfortable. And I couldn't imagine doing that. I would I wouldn't be me if I sat home all day and was with my family. I just wouldn't. I need to do my thing. And so I think that a lot of young entrepreneurs that watch my show or watch my content think about automation, think about how great it would be if they could just make money without doing anything, setting up a system that allows them to just collect their cash and their PayPal while they're on the beach. I just think that's a far-fetched game, and it definitely would not make me happy.
Do you work on your birthday?
I sure do. For a couple of reasons. Number one, I hate my birthday. I've hated my birthday since I was in my mid-20s. I feel like it means the clock is ticking. I'm not fully accomplishing everything I want every year. Da, 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 da. I really hate getting older. I was stunned how well I handled 40. I collapsed at 30. I freaked out. And so I do not like my birthday. I work on it every year. It's always in November 14th, so it's always during prime time, getting closing out the year kind of thing. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I couldn't imagine not working on my birthday. Though, let me phrase, actually, this is me jamming with you guys. I actually can think about it. I do see a day and age where maybe I take my kids out of school on my birthday and we start a tradition. I'm into that kind of like hokey stuff. But for now it feels right, and I'll address those kind of things later. But I would never not work on my birthday to like give myself a gift. Giving myself a gift is packing my day on my birthday and going at it hard.
What foods have you added to your new lifestyle that you are enjoying the most?
There's no new foods. I actually ate a lot of healthy foods. I just ate a lot of crap along with it. So it's just been elimination in the last 2 years or so. I've been really focusing on my fruits and vegetables. I love them so much. I guess beef jerky, which I know is high in salt, and so we've toned that down, but that was fun. I've always liked it, but I probably got hot on that a little bit. But there's been no new food introduced. It's been more about focusing on the ones I already was eating that were healthy.
Why don't you watch your own videos? Is it ego or is it time?
Time. I mean, I know what I did. It's not super interesting. I don't know what else to say. Just a complete waste of time.
What value do you find in knowing a foreign language?
I'm not sure. Like, you know, it's funny. Foreign languages are interesting to me. They don't come natural to me. I failed Spanish in eighth grade. I failed German twice in high school. And you actually need 2 years of language in high school in New Jersey to graduate. So going into my junior year, I took Spanish 1. I was a junior with all freshmen. And thank God, Senora Kennedy, I'm giving you a huge shout out. Thank God she knew who I was and I had skills. She passed me. She called my mom, one of my only teachers to ever call my mom. She called my mom and said, I'm giving your son a C for charisma, and because I think he's going to make it. But I just want you to know, he doesn't even know how to say hello in Spanish. So I love you, Senora Kennedy. You know, I think that foreign languages are great for people that use it as a utility because they became somebody in government or international business. I do think it's collapsing in value because apps in the future are going to be able to translate on the spot. I like it because when Russian people talk shit about me, I know what they're saying. I fondly think of a story of a couple coming to Wine Library in my youth, and saying behind my back in Russian that, how the hell does this kid know anything? He's just a kid. And then me answering back in Russian and they, becoming white as a ghost. There was a really cute Russian girl once that said that she was into me and she didn't know that I knew Russian in my late teens, early 20s. That was a positive ROI. So, you know, it's had a couple good times for me.
Hey guys, this is Andrew Greif, associate designer for Gary Vaynerchuk, here to read you guys some questions. What's your travel schedule like to and from the office? Car, train, Uber, walk? How do you spend that time?
Usually it's a cab or an Uber. I live on the Upper East Side. Our office is in the Lower East Side. That's worked out really nicely. By the time most of you listen to this, we're moving to the West Side in Hudson Yards. That's going to be a real schlep, but I'll do the same thing. Whether it takes me 15 minutes or it takes me 40 minutes, I will be on my phone every second, talking to my family or friends or business associates or texting with those same people or going on Nuzzle and picking up the news of the day or engaging with you guys on Twitter and Instagram or creating content on Snapchat or Instagram. So just doing my thing.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I was born in 1975. I came to America in 1978. I was 5, 6 years old when Empire Strikes Back released. I am a hardcore Star Wars fan. It was one of the first Americana things that I knew. It means a lot to me. It has a similar kind of thing as the Jets does, just a little bit different, not as intense. I'm glad it's back. It is the only sci-fi thing I know or like. I don't know any of these other things. No Harry Potter, no The Hobbit, no none of this stuff. I'm a big, big, big fan of the story. I think it's good versus evil. I just like it. I think I'm a Jedi secretly. I don't like to talk about that publicly, but yes, I do. And so I love Star Wars. I'm not into Star Trek. I was into Star Trek from the standpoint of buying old Star Trek toys at garage sales and selling them on eBay. So I like the business of Star Trek because I know other people care about it. But for me personally, not into it.
What's the fastest way someone could piss you off?
Hypocrisy, cynicism, and complaining. For all my zen, those three things really drive me crazy. Ironically, by the kind of personality I have, I get a huge dose of all of those things, both from my employees and from my community and from the people consuming my content for the first time. So it's so interesting. It's the thing that drives me mad, and it's a thing that I'm definitely facing on an everyday basis.
What's the most significant thing you get out of your show?
You know, I think the interpersonal relationships, I think back to Kastner, Eric Kastner and Mott, becoming family with them on Wine Library TV, now with India, Stunwin during his time, Stefan, Zach, D-Rock. I like the culture of having a team, but the thing that I get the most of is the feedback. I often say that the comments are my oxygen. You just heard me talk about ears. I like listening. I learn from how people respond to me and to things. And I just love having a community. I'm sure there's an ego boost of people being fans and taking selfies. I love that. I would never hide from that. But it is completely secondary for my passion of understanding how people process and think and consume things that allow me to be a better businessman, allow me to be a better human being, to be honest with you. I think a lot of my likability comes from my understanding of people. And so the community and the feedback, and more of the feedback than anything, which is part of the community, that is it. That is the it thing for me.
What should I get my mom for Mother's Day?
New strategy alert. Here's what I want you to do. Your mom is on social media. Your mom's friends are on social media. Follow them, see what they're talking about, and buy your mom a gift around the thing that she's most into of the moment. What it's going to prove to her is you've been paying attention to what she cares about, and that part is going to mean more to her than some new running pants or a paddle board or her new tennis racket.
Hey, book listeners, it's Andy Cranack. I create Facebook dark posts for the reverent business guru Gary Vaynerchuk. And I hope you find tremendous value in the questions I'm about to ask my boss, predicated on his understandings of hustle, ROI, empathy, self-awareness, and social media done best. You've repeatedly mentioned your love of root beer over the years. Why root beer specifically? And any we should give a whirl?
First of all, Andy is now elevated to really running Team Gary, and he's just an incredible guy. And that was probably the most sense of humor and personality that I've ever seen him deploy outside of the way he hustles on the basketball court, which could be the proxy of his career because his intensity is very much appreciated. I don't know. I grew up drinking soda and a lot of Coca-Cola, sorry, Pepsi client, And if I drink cola now, it would be Pepsi, I promise. And root beer came along pretty early on, and the root beer float to 11-year-old, boy, ice cream and soda? Forget it. And then A&W had like a stand by us in New Jersey, and those things were really rad. I love the taste, and there's a bunch of really amazing root beers for all of you that are allowed to drink soda, unlike me now. Hosmer in Connecticut is incredible. Pirate's Keg in Rochester, New York. Kemper, Virgil's, these are nice entry-level kind of things. There's so much handcrafted quality root beer out there. Back to the 52-week challenge, you could absolutely do at least a summer, a 12-week challenge of 12 different root beers on the weekend. Just delicious. I'm a big fan. I think they're the most complex sodas in the world. You know, another interesting phenomenon in the last year, even after I wrote this book, perfect for the audiobook, is look what's going on with the hard root beer movement, right? The alcoholic root beers are flying. Wine Library can't keep it in stock. And that only speaks to people enjoying the flavor profile. There's something about that flavor. It turns some people off, but I've been intrigued by that movement as well.
Do you ever have dreams at night about your business?
When don't I have dreams about my business? I mean, as much as, even in my early 20s, as much as I tried to force myself to have, like, dreams about, like, hooking up with, like, actresses, you know how, like, you're laying there and you know you're about to sleep and you think you could force a dream, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to hook up with Pamela Anderson, and then, like, 2 seconds later, you're slaying a dragon and playing, like, Pitfall when you're a kid? You know, I mainly dream about my life. I think a lot of us do. Business is a big anchor in my life, and I'm thinking about it all the time, always.
What's the best thing that's happened to you this week?
So I'm going to answer this straight, as in, like, this actual week. It was AJ's birthday this weekend. We went away as a family and skied up in New Jersey. We don't really ski, but it was a lot of fun, clearly, because we went to New Jersey, not Vermont or Colorado. And I'll tell you the best part. I'm going to go deep here a little bit. Once again, like always, checking some social media while the kids are sleeping or going in the halls or wherever I was, not when I was family time, but always sneaking it in a little bit here and there. I was questioned about my work-life balance and things of that nature. As always, just constant conversation around me. And it was fun for me because I took all day Friday off, drove with the family, hung out with the family. It was like really an intense family time. I knew that my Snapchat stories were around weightlifting and business advice. I wasn't showing my family, something Lizzie and I, again, have made a huge decision about. And it was fun for me. It was kind of this interesting contradiction. Here, there was a movement again about, like, am I working too much? Am I going to look back at my life and regret it? And here I am spending the time, but not communicating it to my audience because of decisions we've made. And so I felt good. I'm always going to battle it, but it was a really great feeling to know as I'm being questioned forever doing it, I'm doing things that a lot of people don't get to do, which is take an entire Friday off, you know, and be with my family and things of that nature. And so there's a comforting feeling to know that my intent and effort in that category is very pure and good and going well while you guys are not seeing it. And the reason I'm answering this right now is I want you guys to know it's happening, not because of how it makes me feel, but I'm worried about people saying, oh, Gary's doing it. I don't have to spend time with my family. Because my wife and I are not comfortable showing our kids or showing her to the public doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, even Daily V, we've not been showing a lot of the family stuff because, you know, my family doesn't want it around. And I don't know what else to tell you. And so though I thought Daily V, you know, when we started it, would show a lot more of that and show that complete picture, we've been editing a lot of the family stuff I'm doing. And again, it's just not going to be part of my narrative, though it is part of my narrative. And I felt comfort this last week in the debate while feeling good about what I'm actually doing.
What environment is best for you to have successful business meetings in? Conference room, restaurant, in flight?
Sure. I'm in full biz dev mood all the time. I'll do it anywhere, anywhere and everywhere. Actually, whatever's most comfortable for the other person, I will deploy my chameleon-like abilities and address it that way. You want to be in a conference room? Great. You want to be in a restaurant? Great. You want to do it at a ball game? Great. You want to do it while golfing? It's a lot of time, but okay. You know, so I'm very cozy in all environments.
Do you believe in aliens?
The weird answer is I do, and I get it. I get it, but, like, I still think there's a long way to go in technology. Like, I just think that there's something else out there outside of our galaxy, our system. And what I really think about, actually, to be more interesting, is there another Gary in the world somewhere else who is part of a different world and has similar DNA and similar stuff and had different outcomes because of that world. I don't know. I'm fascinated by this question. I don't think it exists in our universe, kind of in our Milky Way world, but I do think outside of it, in the same way that I think that we don't know 99% about the brain, in the same way that I know that every day that goes by, we do things that we never thought were possible, I think that there's something else out there and eventually it'll be discovered. Like, I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime. I think this is massive, massive technology advances. Do I think in 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, we'll start discovering other things because of technology? Or will it be created from the technology we're building? Yeah, I kind of do.
Hey, guys, it's Mike Vacanti, Gary's trainer and nutrition coach. I'm super excited to be a part of this. Thank you for having me. And India, let's get into the show. If you could go back to your 20s, would you prioritize health? Or was neglecting it necessary to get where you are today?
I would have prioritized it. First of all, the big thing that I did not realize is how much better looking I would be by losing the weight. If I knew that the extra 20 or 30 pounds would have created that level of opportunity for my looks, I would have done it 1,000 years ago. I mean, this is something that needs to be talked about. Guys, as much self-esteem as you have, and as much as you feel like you look solid and you're fine, I'm telling you, getting chiseled, getting muscles, getting firm, getting lean, you're gonna look way better. I mean, I look way better. Just the truth. D-Rock, when we edit some of these videos, I mean, I look back, I'm like, my God. So I would have prioritized it. Not to mention, I would have had more fun in sports. I would have been healthier. I'd be healthier right this second because of the momentum of it all. It's a complete no-brainer. If this audiobook does anything for you, forget about the business success, making you a famous artist, boy, would I be pumped to get emails in 4 to 5 years from now from people who, as entrepreneurs, workaholics, people like me, heard that I addressed this, that this audiobook and the passion I'm delivering this answer with right now motivated them to get started and they got healthier and better.
What do you splurge on?
Vacations and experiences. You know, AJ and I went to LeBron James's first game back as a Cav. We went to all 16 games last year of the Jets. Lizzie and I go to very expensive, very exciting, very special vacations. I'm very into experiences, so that's where my money goes.
Back in the old school days of hip-hop, were you East or West Coast?
I was East Coast because I loved Biggie, but I would be lying if I didn't say I was a little Cleveland. You know, Bone Thugs and Harmony very much had my attention, East 99, and I loved that genre of music, so I was a little Midwest, too.
If it weren't for the 14th Amendment, would you run for president?
I hate this question, I'll tell you why. It exposes me as the vain, not good person that I am at times. I would absolutely run for president, and the reason I don't go into politics is because I can't become president. And not having the carrot of winning the whole thing has eliminated my interest in being involved. I do not want to be the governor of New York, mainly because I couldn't use it to become the president of the United States of America. And that makes me criticize myself every day of my life. But it's the truth. If I can't win the championship, I don't want to play the game.
My bro's been dating a girl for the past 2 years, and she refuses to acknowledge their relationship on social media. Red flag?
Your bro's in deep shit. This is a bright red flag. This is a problem. This means that she's scandalous or has some other stuff going on. Yes, this is a red flag. I'm not into it. I would tell any of my buddies to get out. And of course, I don't have all the context. And of course, I'm being a little silly now and shooting from the hip. But I do think in this day and age, if that is not the case, there is a reason why. And it's either through some amazing insecurity that's deeply rooted in her own personal issues, or it's because she likes hooking up with random dudes on the side. Neither is super awesome.
Hi, everybody. This is Stefan. I do video work for Gary, and I'm going to be reading some questions for the book. Did you have any bucket list items that you wanted to complete before you turned 40?
Not really. You know, I have one bucket list item, which is, you know, the Jets thing. Everything else is kind of zenned out. I didn't have like, I want to build this company or I want to have this exit or I want to invest. I didn't really have anything. So the answer is not really. I love the climb. And so my bucket list is more like a bucket religion, which is as long as I'm able to continue to play the game, to try to achieve, to try to score points, to try to win, to compete with my competitors in the world of business, I'm an extremely happy guy. And so, you know, there's things I want to get done, but I don't think of them as bucket list items. I don't think about my health. I don't think about spending more time with my family. I think of those things as like cost of entry to be a better human being, not a thing that I want to put on a list.
In the first 30 seconds of someone meeting you, what do you reveal about yourself?
You know, nothing that I think about, but what I've come to learn, because I observe, is people very quickly realize I'm a different dude. You know, I've not lived a life for a long time at this point where people are just kind of neutral about the first 30 seconds. They definitely make quick decisions. They can see that I'm rolling with a different level of energy. I think that's probably one of the bigger observations. And there's a real kind of reaction to me. It's why TV executives have always pitched me this. The reason so many people have wanted me to do TV, and I've heard this time and time again from big time executives, is, Gary, people are going to react to you. One way or the other, they're going to react to you, and they're going to react to you probably in the first scene that you're in. And so I always thought that was interesting, and I like it. I like the attention, no question. And I also like that I know that net-net, when they get to know me, I'm going to probably be on the right side of history. So it's probably why I like people so much. I like the interaction. So I don't have any real game plan because they're always different, right? If you meet me at a Jets game and you're sitting in front of me for the first time, you're going to know a very different me than if I'm going to be hanging out with you because you're the wife of a husband that's in our school and Lizzie and I are going out with each other. The four of us are all going out. Like, there's just different settings and I'm going to be different every time given the context of the meeting. I don't have agenda. I just have my energy. And I think my energy is the first thing that people react to.
What actor would you want to play you in a movie about your life?
You know, when my movie is made, I would assume that there's going to be three different actors playing my life. As, you know, the little boy from Belarus, I'd probably want to be, you know, maybe one of the Brad and Angelina kids or, you know, some really attractive little guy. I was pretty damn cute. You know, I would say that as long as they're extremely good looking and massively charismatic and can act, I'll take anybody. Look, the bottom line is everybody knows this. Anybody that plays you in a movie is always more attractive than you are in real life. And so that's a positive. I'm excited about that part. I will say this as well. None of them can be as charismatic as me. So I would critique that.
Do you watch your own videos?
The answer to this was always historically no. Ironically, it's become yes with my new Daily V vlog because D-Rock is filming me at all times and he's editing. And so I have to see the story saying, plus we're putting out a lot of sensitive information. So for the first time ever, I'm actually looking at content before you guys are. Before it was one take and I knew it was there and we just moved on. It's been really fun. I mean, first of all, I enjoy it. D-Rock's outrageously talented. It's been fun to do a little post-production and critique a thing here and there. D-Rock will tell you, and Zach, my designer, will tell you, I don't do a lot of that. I let them storytell. I let them do their talent. But it's been a new kind of thing. I'm romantic about saying no, so it feels weird to say yes, but I have to look at it now. It's such a different thing than the one take play.
What historical figure would you have lunch with if you could, and why?
This is interesting. You know, there's people that come to mind right away. I'm super fascinated by Pete Rozelle, the former commissioner of the NFL. Winston Churchill's kind of cool to me. Macho Man Randy Savage, rest in peace, big fan. Would have loved to meet with him. Walt Disney, Vince McMahon. I've talked about these people in the past. I guess if my grandparents, probably my two grandfathers who I didn't know, if I can count them as historical, because they're definitely historical to me, you know, I'd be lying. You know, this is an interesting moment in this book. I haven't really talked about this, but fuck it. I'm trying to really provide value. I'd be lying to myself and then by proxy you if I didn't tell you that all this recording, all my steps, is in some weird way scratching an itch that I wish happened for me. As somebody who lost both grandfathers and somebody who had a dad who was different kind of dude, non-communicator, worked every minute for the first 14 years, I never really had that father mentor, that grandfather mentor. I missed out on something I see a lot of other people having. And I know that I had kids later than, you know, not that late, my 30s, but that was later than people did in their 20s. You know, Xander and Misha are 6 and 3, right? Let's say they have kids at 30. Let's play this out. 25 years from now, right? I'll be 65. Those kids will be 5 when I'm 70. They'll start being able to know who I was at 75 and 80 and things of that nature. And there's no shot for me to have great-great-grandkids. You know, like, that's what I had with my great-great-grandmother. That's not happening. So I'd be lying that all this documentation, Wine Library TV, Daily V especially, the Ask Gary V show, I think I'm leaving something. And of course it's scratching my own ego, but it's something that I wish I had. I wish when I was 14, 15, 16 that I could have sat down as I was getting into those prime years in the summer, maybe one summer to just sit down and watch who my grandfathers were, pick the things that they were, learn from them and their mistakes. And that's how, that's what I think. I think that if I could do anything, weird like that, I would definitely pick my two grandfathers, because I'm just curious what mix I am of the two of them. I know I've got DNA from both of them because I know my parents, what they took from them. And so that'd be really cool. I wish I could do it. And I'm very excited that I'm doing this for my future generations because of probably how highly I think of myself, and I think I could be motivating and have something good for them and a legacy to really leave forever. And so it's pretty intense stuff for me.
Hi, my name is Brittany Hoffman, and I'm a growth hacker on Gary's team. What was your first or most embarrassing screen name?
One of my AOL screen names was G-Nuts. And you know what's funny? I never saw this before. I didn't think about this. Gary V, V-E-E, on Twitter, and that really my username, my handle now, is something I never understood why. It was the first time I ever done it when I signed up for Twitter, and that's where I exploded, and that's who I became. Now looking at this, now remembering, my screen name G-Nuts was G-E-E. I've liked the double E before. N-U-T-Z for all you people out there. So G-Nuts it was. And I scoured the internet for ladies and scandalous stuff and whatever else I did with that name. And so G-Nuts.
Would you rather have a pet dragon or be able to turn into a dragon?
I'd rather turn into a dragon. And then, like, you know, blow fire on the Patriots.
I'm curious to know how you feel about the way you've touched and inspired people over the years.
It's my legacy. I never saw this coming. I love it. I'm taken aback by it. Every day now in my life, I get an email that's quite powerful, whether it's somebody trying to survive cancer and watching my show, or somebody starting a career, literally, no joke, no hyperbole, walking out of my building today, my doorman stops me, hey, Mr. V, you know, it's all very professional on the Upper East Side, can I show you something, showed me a quote that I said, the quote kind of went like, the guy or gal that grows up cooking with their grandmother in the kitchen is always going to beat the person that goes to culinary school, you know, it was kind of the essence of doing it. He said that that quote inspired his friend and changed that person's life and is now at, ironically, one of the great culinary schools and has a profession. It's kind of funny. But, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, I wish it on all of you. I wish it on all of you to know that even though you're going after your own self-interests by proxy, by sawdust, by process, you're bringing so much good to the world. It's an incredibly intoxicating feeling. And I push against it. I don't want to be Tony Robbins and I don't want to be Oprah. I don't. And it's right there for me. I know I've got it, but I want to prove that I'm a real businessman and all these different things. But as I'm getting old, you know, it's interesting. Literally the thing that happened at 40, it's kind of, here's a callback. The only thing that happened is, am I being selfish to prove to everybody that I'm able to build $100 million businesses because I want to be a businessman, and then I'm holding off this inspirational thing that I've got, and should I go all 100% into inspiration because I'll be successful and I'll impact more people? It's been an intense feeling. It's definitely the thing that I'll spend my 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100s on, pondering, did I play this unbelievably raw gift properly? Did I find the right balance of checking the box of practicality and not guru for me because I needed that for me while still helping enough people along the way? It's very interesting how I feel about this gift, and it's gift through communication, and it's gift through circumstance, and it's gift through being perfectly parented, and it's gift through the talents that I have. But whatever I was given it. The reason I'm reading this audiobook is because I know I have a responsibility to read it, because Johnny Thompson reading this is not going to have the same impact as the 4 days I allocated to this, and that will bring value to so many of you and will inspire so many of you to do something, something great, something good, something just a little bit better than you would have had if we didn't cross paths.
When have you been happiest in life?
You know, the answer to this question is right now. And this is going to be a fun brain twist for a lot of you. Again, like, I talk about this so much, how much I wish I could sell my DNA. That would buy me the Jets tomorrow. And it's, you know, it's happiness. It's, I'm literally happiest right this second. Meaning, every day, it gets better and better. Every day I build on top of other things. I'm not confused that this day is not more special than the day Misha and Xander were born. I'm not confused that this day is not more special than the day that the Jets, after 6 weeks earlier, got pounded by the Patriots 45-3, went into Foxborough in the second round of the playoffs and stunned the world and beat the Patriots and made me the happiest boy on earth. I know that it's not a better day than that, yet I think it is. Because I know I've had those experiences, and I know here's the new day, and I get to play again, and I get to build on top of those experiences. I'm just so thankful to be alive. I really am, and I really believe that I'm always the happiest on the next day. Because the next day lets me think about the next day, and the next day. I love the process, I love the climb, I love the anticipation. I'm always happiest on a vacation the day before the vacation. It's just this way about how I live. And so, for me, I really think about these things in very simple terms. If I have everything around me healthy and happy, the core group, I have nothing to complain about, and it's just one more day I got before the other shoe falls, and I am self-aware, and I acknowledge, and I know things will come. I know my parents will pass away. I know that tragedy will hit to somebody close. I'm mentally prepared for something that we none of us want to think about. And so you have to understand, because I know that's a truth, because I know that's coming, because it's inevitable, it makes me so thankful and grateful for today. It was another day where that night went by and some of those things didn't happen. And so I'm just always happy. I force myself on happiness. I recognize the truths of the world and I fight for the happiness on a daily basis. So the answer to your question is very simple. I'm the happiest right this second. Question of the day. For all you hardcore Ask Gary V, the show fans, you know I like to do this every episode. How did I do? This is Gary Vaynerchuk. This production of Ask Gary V, One Entrepreneur's Take on Leadership, Social Media, and Self-Awareness, was directed by Rick Harris and recorded at Beat Street Studios in New York City. Engineered by Jared O'Connell. Edited and mastered by Lance Neal. Executive producer, Katie Ostroka. Text copyright 2016 by Gary Vaynerchuk. Production copyright 2016 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.